Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
And who is in charge around here anyways? You or your emotions? Are you capable of moderation, or do you possess self-restraint? Maybe you suffer from addictions, or you have trouble with chastity or overeating. All of these questions have to do with the virtue of temperance, and that is our topic today here on Catholic Answers Live. Temperance, the key to freedom. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. I am your host, Cy Kellett, and our guest this hour is very well suited to this topic. Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio hosts a series on EWTN on the virtues, Seven Habits of Champions. He received his doctorate in theology under the great, I think it's all right to say, the great Cardinal Avery Dulles. And as a prolific writer and speaker, Dr. D'Ambrosio's books include Exploring the Catholic Church, When the Church Was Young, Voices from the Early Fathers, and 40 Days, 40 Ways, A New Look at Lent. Dr. D'Ambrosio, thank you for being with us today on Catholic Answers Live.
Cy, it is a pleasure to be with you on Catholic Answers Live, and my first time on Catholic Answers with you as host.
And we are on Facebook Live together. It's a multi-good day today. I think we're on Facebook Live, right? Give me the thumbs up, Nick. Yes, we are going out on Facebook Live. And so if you would like to see and not just hear the program, you can go to the Catholic Answers page on Facebook and see the show as well as hear it today. You know, Dr. D'Ambrosio, Catholic moral thought, I think, is teased about and sometimes actually kind of put down as oppressive and restrictive. And what's our answer to that?
Well, our answer is that really, they ain't no party like a Catholic party. You know, honestly, God and the Catholic Church are for the joy of life. And God was the one who created all the pleasures. And the Catholic Church isn't interested in taking them away.
Right.
But the funny thing I think all of us can understand looking at our own lives is that somehow the craving for pleasure, which is in each one of us, sometimes leads us into trouble. Sometimes that desire, instead of leading to freedom, relaxation, joy, happiness, leads to misery and oppression. And this is a result, really, of sin in the world, and the not the depraving of our nature. Our nature is good, but the knocking it off kilter a little bit. You know, you take an arrow and you trim off a feather and cut off part of the feather, and that arrow shoots, but it goes in a misdirected way, and that's the way that's what happens with our passions. So the goal isn't a bunch of repressive laws.
Yeah,
that is oftentimes people's idea of what Catholic morality or just Christian and Jewish morality is all about. But, you know, the word law in the Old Testament, the word Torah, means the teaching. And so if you look at the Psalms, you know, the teaching of what makes for life and what leads to death is really what the law is about. It's guidelines. It's road markers on the way. But you need to walk, and you need power and muscles to walk that way. And what gives you that power is what we call virtues. And the ancients knew about virtues, the non-Christian ancient Romans and Greeks, but the scripture speaks about building character or building spiritual muscle, which we call virtues. And one of them is this virtue that takes the pleasures and instead of letting them get out of control and destroy us, bring them into unity and make them serve love and life and justice. And that power, I mean, wouldn't all of us love that power, you know, to have all of our passions working right?
Yeah.
So we actually wanted what is good for us and others and not what's bad for us and others.
Is there kind of a social dimension to this too, you think, like that not just individuals but societies sometimes – our passions get out of whack. It seems to me almost like – actually, I'm kind of saying that because it feels like we're living in a time like that where we don't have a sense of moderation.
Yeah, out of control. Societies get out of control, obviously.
Yeah.
Cultures get out of control, and that all starts with the individual getting out of control. We can't put our society back together again unless individuals get their lives together. And in the, and that's the beautiful good news. The gospel is good news. And it's not good news just to throw regulations at people that are impossible to keep, but it is good news that the Holy Spirit has come to empower us to be new people. And that's the, really the gospel of that the Catholic Church preaches, because it's the gospel that Paul preached and the apostles preached and the good news that Jesus came to bring.
So if I don't have temperance, how do I go about getting temperance? And frankly, in some parts of my life, I don't have temperance. I don't want to lie to you about that. So this is not just a hypothetical question. In other words, how might I moderate my, let's say, my eating, for example? Like, how might I be more moderate there?
All right. Well, I'm going to talk about two things. The virtue of temperance is a natural virtue, which means it can be acquired to some degree without necessarily a big supernatural infusion of grace. However, I'm also going to say that without grace, most of us aren't going to get very far in building virtue that's long-lasting in our lives, and that really is balanced with all the virtues balanced in full development. And sometimes God can give supernatural infused virtue when it's uncharacteristic, when we haven't worked for it. So I just want to get out there on the table that there's different ways that virtues can be gotten, you know, a sovereign act of God and an infused gift and hard work and a little of both. Usually it's both, you know, working together, grace and nature working together. So I'm just going to say a muscle. All of us know about muscles. How do you make a muscle stronger? It's kind of simple. You have to exercise it. Yeah. No exercise, muscle is weak. And so a vice is actually a weakness. It's a habitual action that becomes kind of part of us, like, let's say, overeating, or let's say looking at pornography, okay? This is a sin that becomes a vice, and this is part of what everyone needs to understand about the enemy. We are in a spiritual war. Devil is real. Demons are real. And they're smart. You know, they're fallen angels. And so the fallen angels bait us with little bits of pleasure. It's bait on the end of a hook.
Yeah.
And the goal of Satan, you know, first of all, the pleasure, every single pleasure is invented by God. The problem is the better the pleasure is, the more it's supposed to be conducive to love and life. And when you rip it out of its context, it becomes destructive. So think fire. Fire is awesome. We couldn't live without it, but that's in the fireplace, in the stove, in the furnace. Put it in the bedroom and you got a death, quick death.
Right.
And the same thing is true with water. So what Satan wants to do is he wants to take a little bit of pleasure, give us the minimal amount of satisfaction, and use it to hook us and to make us slaves. And that's what vices are. When we get into bad habits, we feel like we're out of control. We're slaves. Okay. So the Lord, in his mercy, begins to heal us and begins to make it possible for us to start acting in virtuous ways. And at first, it's like, oh my gosh, it's very painful. Yeah. Just like going out and exercising after binging all during Christmas and New Year's. So small actions of self-denial, of moderating, for example, you know, appetites, help become habitual. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They become second nature. It's like going to the gym. The first few times you go, it's terrible. But after you've gone repeatedly for a month or two, now it's natural and it feels good. And that's kind of the way that virtue is built when it comes to moderation.
888-318-7884 is our number here, 888-31-TRUTH, if you prefer it that way. Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio is our guest this hour. Our topic, well, it has a great deal to do with pleasure, and we are a society of pleasure seekers. I'm going to go so far as to say that. But maybe, as Dr. D'Ambrosio was saying, these pleasures have gotten – or this pleasure seeking perhaps has gotten out of balance in your life. Maybe you want to talk about how to restore that balance or have some clarity about what the church offers as far as understanding the virtues, particularly this virtue of temperance, which allows us to moderate our life and to be moderate so that we can, as Dr. D'Ambrosio said, enjoy the pleasures of this life the way God intended, not in a way that enslaves us. 888-318-7884 is the number. We've got some callers. We'll get back to them as soon as we take this break. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. This is Catholic Answers Live. And whether you're listening on the radio or watching on Facebook, we'll be right back.
Every question is important. Ask yours today on Catholic Answers Live.
Hey everyone, this is Carlo Broussard. I've got a challenge for you. It's called the 20 Answers Challenge. Catholic Answers 20 Answers series offers hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world. Here's how the challenge works. When you purchase the sampler of all 20 books in the series, we're going to knock the price in half. And we're challenging you to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. Then, we're going to take $10 from each set purchase and provide materials to our friends at St. Paul Street Evangelization so they can do what they do best, hit the streets and share the Catholic faith. That's $10 from every set you purchase, going to help our fellow workers in the vineyard. You win, St. Paul Street Evangelization wins, the Catholic Church wins. That's a win-win-win. Together, we can be a part of something great. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com now to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today.
Did you know you can book any of our great speakers to speak at your parish or special event? Contact one of our seminar coordinators through the Speakers Bureau section on Catholic.com today to find out more information.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Is it possible to know when life begins? Shouldn't women be able to control their own bodies? What if a pregnant woman's life is in danger? In 20 Answers, Abortion, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more. You'll deepen your understanding of this critical moral issue and gain the knowledge you need to explain it to others. 20 Answers Abortion is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Our topic this hour, temperance, the virtue of temperance, the key to freedom. Our guest, Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio, but I almost said Dr. Italy, because you, DrItaly.com is where people can find you. Is that correct?
That's right. And people call me Dr. Italy because not everyone can pronounce my name like you can, Si.
Did I do it? Really, I did okay? Because I'm usually the butcherer of the names.
You did okay.
Oh, good. Okay. All right.
You did really well.
All right. Well, you're the first person who said that this week. So DrItaly.com, you can get information there on just this very topic we're talking about, right? The virtues, developing the virtues.
Yeah, actually, it is a whole library. I just want to tell the listeners that we have a whole library on virtues. You go to the library page. It's a phenomenal library. And so I encourage people to go and search on that. You can also use the search function. A search on moderation or self-control or whatever.
Very, very good. Again, 888-31-TRUTH is the number here. This is Catholic Answers Live. I am your host, our guest, Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio. Our topic, temperance, and we go to Joe in Crowley, Louisiana, listening on 9:55 a.m., I believe that is. Joe, your question for Dr. D'Ambrosio.
Yeah, just what's a good way to practice temperance in our daily lives? Do we pray for? Do we, I have a good faith. Everybody tells me I have a good faith, but, you know, I mean, you have to go out, you know, and live it. But, what's the best way to practice the virtue of temperance in your everyday life?
Okay, first thing I'm going to say is that, you know, without the Lord, it's pretty hard to do anything constructive and persevere in it. So, you know, it's really important to pray and ask, but it's also important to be formed in a daily way and nourished by the Word of God. And so I want to encourage you to do that and actually find some scripture texts that speak about moderation. And I'll give you one example. There's awesome text in 1 Timothy about God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of knowledge and love and self-control. Okay, so that's from, let me just get the reference here. It's 2 Timothy 1:7. Well, I memorized that when I was working on this issue earlier in my Christian life a little bit more than I am at the moment. I memorized that and I repeated that and I claim that promise that the Lord gave me that spirit in my baptism and confirmation. I also go to the Eucharist often, and I encourage you to do that and to go to the sacrament of confession. All right, so that's just getting some nourishment, getting some strength and power. You still got to exercise. And so I would say if it's an area, it depends what your area is. But there's a famous kind of Latin little exhortation, agere contra, act against the area of weakness. So if your problem is an area of, let's say, overeating, it's really good to make a discipline of fasting that you stick to help say to the Lord, Lord, I want you to be first, not food in my life. And I pray that you give me the power to do that. Now, that's a prayer, but it's also exercise. So, and I would just say also that it's really awesome for anybody here listening who's working on a personal problem in your life. I encourage you to find a spiritual director. Could be a priest, that's really awesome, or could be someone who has a little bit more seniority in the Christian life than you, that may be a lay person, but you look up to and you have confidence in. And to kind of sound out a strategy with that person for your personal area of weakness, have an accountability partner, could be a spouse, but I think it's really important. Those are a few different ideas to help you to move forward and break out of an area of habitual, overindulgence.
Okay, Joe?
Thank you.
I would think Louisiana would be a particularly difficult place to be temperate. And am I wrong about that? It seems like that's, if you're going to work
the
on temperance.
The food is good there. Yeah, I love it.
Maybe don't be so close to the jambalaya. That's a kind of a hard place to be. Well, that's just me. All right. That's my problem. Maybe not everyone has that problem. Jim in Buffalo, New York, listening on Stations of the Cross, you are on with Dr. Marcellina D'Ambrosio. Our topic is temperance and the virtues and your question for Dr. D'Ambrosio.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Dr. D'Ambrosio, and I just want to say it's great to talk to a guy with such an easy-to-pronounce Irish last name, let me tell you. So, here's what
thank
I got.
You.
Being a guy who's under 30 myself and being in a position where I have several people that work underneath me at a facility here in Buffalo, I see a lot with people even younger than myself, this whole idea that that rules are bad. It doesn't matter if it's at work or in life, and this rebellion in general, that somehow if you're following rules, you're not free. And do you see some of this, resistance to temperance as something that's an immediate reaction to that rebellion against, the idea that somehow living within rules is bad for you? It's that rules are somehow negative as opposed to helping you live a constructive life and helping keeping things in order. It's almost like the world's flipped upside down right now, and order seems to be inherently bad. Because that's somehow, a God is the God of order, and obviously the devil is the complete opposite. So it would make sense that would be kind of a trap you'd fall into. But it seems like it's a very active rebellion, and it's enforced in every bit of media and in every bit of culture, not just for young people necessarily, but I see it a lot in people my age and younger. Where it's encouraged even. It's encouraged in the public school system, even the Catholic school system, to be, this whole idea that you've got to be this big independent thinker and take it to the extreme. Like, rules don't apply to you. You need to break down barriers and all that sort of stuff.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Let's let Dr. D'Ambrosio take a shot at that.
Yeah. Look, I grew up in the hippie era. I was in high school in 1969, 1970, and I actually had a teacher that had a button that said, question authority. So it's nothing new, And I would say this, that there is a healthy rebellion. And I think what we got to do when we look at people who are experiencing rebellion is just say, look, really, it's good to rebel, but just make sure you're rebelling against the right thing. In other words, the target needs to be oppression. God is not an oppressor. His rules lead to life. But there is a false authority in this world. There is public opinion. There's the media. You know, and they're really gaming you, man. They're really trying to sell you a bill of goods that's going to lead you right to destruction. So you need to rebel against that. So you know, my son, I have three wonderful guys. One of them is doing a lot of work in ministry, but he is so passionate about freedom that it's his core word, libertas. And he was part of a household at Ave Maria University, and they were called the Lawless Heirs, which comes straight out of Galatians. And so there's a certain way that there's a good kind of rebellion. So anyway, the bad kind of rebellion, it sees God as a threat. And this, I just want to say, another part of the whole teaching about moderation, humility is actually under the virtue of moderation in lots of the saints' writings, because there's a natural desire not only for freedom but for greatness, and humility keeps us from getting out of hand with that natural desire. It sees ourselves in all our nobility, in all our goodness. It sees also our limitations in the fact that we are not God, and that we can't seek greatness by trashing God and trashing others and stepping over others. So actually, you know, this kind of feeds into what we need to talk about. There's a certain humility that we need to cultivate, where we do see that God's rules apply to us because we're creatures. We're not the creator. But, you know, on the other hand, we're not going to stand for human laws that are contrary to God's law that try to oppress us. We're going to say no to those things. That makes sense?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting perspective, I guess, kind of different. I'll have to read up a little bit more on that and see it. I guess I was more referring to that, but more like it's just everything is, you know, the whole question everything moment, as opposed to taking some stuff on faith every once in a while. Like, listen, I'm telling you it's good for you because I've experienced it. Or, you know, it's like listening to your dad. Everybody's going to find out something sooner or later, but sometimes it's good to listen. And I wondered if that just stemmed from a whole idea that no one can tell me what to do, that whole, and that's part of youth. I get it, but it seems really, really different now when I read through it. So,
yeah, and I guess what I'm saying is it really is not all that different, because I'm an old guy, 61, and I was right in the thick of it in 1971. It was the same kind of thing, and I'm just saying, for a strategy right now, I think it's we need to win the millennial generation. And so instead of just wagging our finger at them and telling them that they're a bunch of rebels, I mean, I think we need to try to channel their rebellion, which is you know, like a St. Francis kind of a guy. So anyway, that strategically, I'm just pointing that out. Certainly, part of the whole idea of humility is having faith that God knows us better than we know ourselves. So we got to take it on authority, on his authority, and we got to trust the church to interpret the will of God for us. So absolutely, you're absolutely right on that.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. We appreciate that. You know, it's interesting because I think, Dr. D'Ambrosio, there's this sense that we can be immoderate in things like eating or in sexual matters or drinking and that kind of thing, addictions. But it seemed like you're saying that I may have misunderstood, but you could be excessive also in the spiritual life. Is that the case? Like that we need temperance in spiritual things?
Absolutely. I think a lot of us, I don't know, I can't speak for everybody on this call, but for me, there's certain devotional things that make me feel good. And I get in pleasure out of spiritual reading, and I get pleasure. I'd much rather be quietly in prayer than fixing the plumbing in my house, for example. But you can get addicted to devotions and actually not do God's will because you're attached to devotions. I knew a number of people who neglected their family for devotional exercises, running out to Catholic events. I've seen that happen. And, also we see in the Gospels, the Pharisees used a devotional practice to get around obeying the fourth commandment. In Mark's Gospel, they said, oh, I've dedicated my money to God, korban. Devotional act. I can't really take care of my parents. I'm sorry, parents. You have to starve. I can't really pay for your retirement. You know, that's against the fourth commandment. So it's important.
All right. 888-318-7884 is the number. You're listening to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio is our guest. More calls on the topic of temperance and the virtuous life when we come back to Catholic Answers Live.
This is Archbishop J. Michael Miller of Vancouver, Canada, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Did you know you can book any of our great speakers to speak at your parish or special event? Contact one of our seminar coordinators through the Speakers Bureau section on Catholic.com today to find out more information.
Hello, my friends. This is Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers, and I'm challenging you to take the 20 Answers Challenge. Catholic Answers 20 Answers series offers clear arguments so anyone can master defending the fundamentals of our Catholic faith. They also arm the reader to converse intelligently about critical moral and cultural topics facing the church today, such as abortion, end-of-life issues, and the growth of Islam. Here's how the challenge works. When you purchase the complete set of all 20 books in the series, we will cut the price in half, and we're challenging you to read them all by the end of Lent. What a great preparation for Easter. But wait, there's more. Catholic Answers is going to take $10 from each set purchased and use it to provide materials to our good friends at St. Paul Street Evangelization so they can do what they do best, hit the streets, and share the Catholic faith. That's $10 from every set you purchase going to help our fellow workers in the vineyard. You win, St. Paul Street Evangelization wins, the Catholic Church wins. That's a win-win-win. Let's do something great for the kingdom. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com now to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today. In fact, why not buy two sets and challenge a friend to take the 20 Answers Challenge? That's 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I will tell you, we are excited to welcome another new station, now part of the EWTN radio family. Hello, everyone listening on FM 93.3 KFPP, serving Woodward, Oklahoma. Congratulations to Jeff Finnell and his hardworking team at our longtime affiliate, Oklahoma Catholic Broadcasting. KFPP stands for First Pope Peter, in honor of St. Peter's Catholic Church in Woodward, which is hosting the new station in their rectory, Dr. D'Ambrosio. That's pretty cool. So again, welcome to all our new listeners. Woo! Now hearing us on 93.3 KFPP, serving Woodward, Oklahoma. And I'll tell you what, if you call from Oklahoma, we're going to put you to the front of the line now. You just call 888-31-TRUTH, 888-318-7884. I don't know if they have any problems with intemperance in Oklahoma, but if they do, you go straight to the front of the line with that call. Also, I'll remind you, we're on Facebook Live, so if you want to see as well as hear the program, just go to the Catholic Answers page on Facebook Live. Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio is our guest. Another call, Dr. D'Ambrosio?
Why not?
Okay, why not? Justin in Bangor, Maine, listening on 90.3. You are on with Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio. Your question.
Yes, I've been previously married, and I'm dating a woman who also has been previously married, but we're both divorced now. We've both been baptized in a non-denominational church, but when we started dating, we both decided that we wanted to stay celibate, and if it came to the point where we were going to get married, after we got married, then we would go down that road. So, you know, we're dating and everything's going well, but I'm getting mixed reactions from different Christians that it doesn't matter that we're waiting now because we both are married and we're not doing this for the right reasons. So I don't know. What does the church say about how we need to be doing this?
Well, question, you were baptized in a non-denominational Christian church. So are you baptized Christians but not Catholic? Is that the case?
Yes.
Okay. Well, all I would say here is, as I understand you, Justin, you're saying that you're waiting till you're married to be intimate sexually. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Well, from a Catholic point of view, here's the deal. I don't know the history of either one of your marriages. In our church, we take Jesus' word really, really seriously about the fact that marriage is supposed to be forever. Okay. The problem is a lot of marriages that fall apart that weren't really marriages, at least not the way that the church and Christ understand marriage. And so, you know, in the Catholic Church, when people like you guys who have failed marriages want to come together again, you kind of bring your situation to a group of folks who kind of discern it with you. And we call that a marriage tribunal. And that marriage tribunal actually does cases for people who are not Catholic. But it helps you to kind of discern if your marriage, your original marriages really were marriages in terms of you, both of you giving yourselves to each other in Christ, intending to be open to children, intending to be permanently faithful to each other, whether or not there was any impediment involved in one of you, you guys making that bond when you made it way back when, to give you kind of discernment as to whether you're free to marry in the Lord. So I would really recommend that you get that kind of counsel from a Catholic church, even though you're not Catholic, and go to like a local church in Bangor and talk to a deacon or a priest about that to kind of get some counsel. And because it's complicated, every marriage situation is kind of different, you know, in terms of the history of the marriage and kind of whether or not there's really a valid bond before God that's there. So anyway, that's what I would encourage you to do. But I think it's awesome that you guys are relating to one another in love, but not in sexual intimacy. I think that's an awesome thing, and I really want to affirm you for doing that.
That helpful to you, Justin?
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Very good. Well, thank you for calling us here at Catholic Answers Live. We hope we'll continue to have you as a listener and maybe hear from you from time to time. The number here, 888-31-TRUTH, 888-318-7884. Dr. D'Ambrosio, you know, you talk about, oh, 1971, you know, you're a kid in these rebellious times and all that. I wonder, is there a new, I don't want to say threat, I don't want to be too ominous, but a new challenge to temperance in all of this? Like, we're on Facebook Live right now. And so in all of the social media that we have, all not just the social media either, all kinds of media, is there a threat to temperance there?
Yeah, absolutely. When I talk about fasting, the first thing I talk about when it comes to fasting is fasting from and disciplining media consumption, because in my mind, that's probably the greatest addiction. Obviously, there's a lot of bad addictions that come through media addiction, like pornography.
Right.
You know, in the old days, you had to buy something. Nowadays, it's shoved in your face everywhere, you know, on your phone and on your computer. So limiting your intake of media is probably one of the most powerful things you can do to get free, get your mind and your heart free, your imagination free. So, you know, I do think this is a different era right now. I mean, there's never been a time in the history of the human race where there's been so much constant stimulation in terms of sound and visuals and imagery, you know, through the web and through your phone. So,
yeah. But the gaining freedom there, for example, it's essentially the same steps as gaining freedom from anything else that may be excessive in one's life. Would you say that's a true statement?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes, honestly, when it's something that's not essential, sometimes you just need to turn it off. You know, the gospel that's coming up very shortly, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, is Jesus saying, hey, if your hand's your problem, cut it off. Yeah. Now, Jesus is not telling us to cut off our hands, but he's saying, take radical action against sin. So if the internet's your problem, turn it off. Better that you go into heaven with no media consumption than go into hell and you know, sit in an eternal chat room with Satan. You know, I mean, it's fundamentally, that is really the case. So you don't have to be, you don't need a smartphone to function. If you don't need it, then maybe you need to put it down for a while. I had to put down my bass guitar and my aspiration. I was a professional musician when I came to Christ, but I needed to get away from music for a while in order to come back to it and be able to use it in a way that was not a bondage. So you know, sometimes that's the case. That's why some, you know, certain amusements, certain things like sports, some guys are addicted to sports. Sometimes they just need to turn it off for a while, fast completely, and then they got to really say, okay, one football game a week. And that's it. I'm not going to read the papers every day. I'm just saying that's an option.
I have to admit, I got that way with politics in the last year. I mean, I just had at a certain point, you got to go, this cannot be consuming your life. And because especially when it's things that you're powerless over, You know, you there's a point at which, come on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Shirley in Agora Hills, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. You are on with Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio. And what is your question, Shirley?
Okay, so every day, honest to God, this sounds terrible, but every day I at night I have a couple hours of spiritual time where I listen to spiritual music or I listen to the Mass on TV or I really put myself in that frame, and that's a wonderful time. And every night I say, tomorrow I'm going to get up early, I'm going to set the alarm, I'm going to go to Mass early, and I'm going to become a daily communicant. And I don't do it. And it's absolutely maddening.
You sound like a human being, Shirley. That sounds like a very human problem. Dr. D'Ambrosio, any thoughts on that?
Well, I will say that it is not an obligation to go to Mass every day. So, you know, you're not sinning unless you made a promise to the Lord, you know, in very solemn fashion. So I would say, if you feel like you need to be getting up earlier, it's a good thing to aim for, but you can't beat yourself up over the fact you don't make up Mass every day.
Is it possible that, you know, the dark side is interfering with the promise?
You know, it's certainly not impossible. But it sounds like, you know, drowsiness and sleep and maybe you stay up too late. I mean, I don't understand what you're saying in terms of your two hour, you know, spiritual time. If it's from, 11 to 1 in the morning, maybe that's the problem. maybe you have to push it back. So I would say, getting to bed earlier and fighting on that front would be a pretty wise move to make. And, kind of setting a goal for if not getting to Mass, beginning to get to get up a little bit earlier. You know,
okay,
usually drastic moves are kind of hard. So you're welcome.
Can I ask Shirley a kind of practical question? Is there an evening Mass anywhere near Agora Hills? Like, if you're an evening person, maybe that would be the way to go to daily Mass.
Not on the weekdays. I watch EWTN Mass every night. But there isn't any Mass on the weekday at night over here.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, all right. Then.
Gotcha.
Then, all right. Little by little. We'll take a break here at Catholic Answers Live for these messages. When we come back, more with Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio on the topic of temperance and the virtues. Quite a few calls stacked up now. We'll get to those when we come back. 888-31-TRUTH is the number.
Call us now with your question.
Hello?
On Catholic Answers Live.
Did you know that all the books, DVDs, and CDs that Catholic Answers publishes can be found as close as your neighborhood Catholic bookstore? Catholic Answers partners with hundreds of Catholic bookstores across the nation and the world to bring you quality resources in the areas of apologetics, evangelization, and chastity from a name you know you can trust. So stop on in and give your local bookstore a visit and see what they've got that's new from Catholic Answers. You can also find us online at www.catholic.com. Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Go forth and preach the good news. It's not just a suggestion. If you want to take more seriously the command of Jesus to share the gospel with those around you, consider joining St. Paul Street Evangelization. It's a grassroots organization that brings the Catholic faith to the streets in a non-confrontational way. Visit our website, www.streetevangelization.com, to learn more. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. It's time to do our part.
Where can you find the answers to hundreds of the most common questions about the Catholic faith? Catholic Answers 20 Answer Series, that's where. Clear, concise, and easy to carry, the 20 Answer Series from Catholic Answers Press offers hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. They're available individually, at special bulk prices, or you can get a starter pack of all 20 at a very special price. And remember, you can now purchase them as e-books for reading on your mobile devices. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com today to get your copies of all the titles in this exciting new series, or ask for them at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa.
In Mark 6, when Jesus came to his native place and began to teach in the synagogue, the people were at first impressed, but because they knew his origins, they refused to take him seriously. So he did not perform many mighty deeds there, apart from curing a few sick people. How familiar has he become to us in the sense that we don't expect much from him? If we've been Catholics all our lives, how much for granted do we take our faith? If we can become numb to the qualities of those with whom we live and can see each day, then what about him whom we cannot see? We need to see him daily. A good place to start is by reading Scripture or meditating on a crucifix. St. Thomas Aquinas said that he learned more from looking at the cross than from any book he ever read. When we truly desire to behold him in our lives, we will. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. One of my favorite guests today, Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio. And I just, I've just enjoyed these three segments we've done together so much. You have a very human touch about all of this, which makes it feel very whole and wholesome to me, at least. You got a parish mission coming up.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, you're very welcome. But
I have a parish mission coming up. I'm flying to Florida, Oviedo, Florida, to Most Precious Blood Catholic Church there. And I'm going to be speaking Friday night and several talks on Saturday. So if you know anybody in the Orlando area, that's where this is, outside of Orlando, please let them know about it. You can come to my website at dritaly.com. And right on the front page, there's info about the where and the when of the talks.
All right. I want to come. Do you need anybody to carry your bags or anything? I'll come.
You're welcome.
Really? I just got to fly across the country. I have to check with the one who handles the money in our family, and it's not me. But in April and May, you're going to Holy Land, which is almost as good as Orlando.
That's
era.
Right.
But tell us about that.
I would say so. I would say actually, I think it has an edge on Orlando.
Really?
Honestly.
All right.
Because
bold.
It's absolutely magnificent. Honestly, I would just say if anybody who's listening here, make it your goal to come to the Holy Land once in your life and don't keep putting it off because, it costs a lot of money and, there's time. It's more peaceful over there, Cy, than it is in any major American city in terms of lack of violence. Honestly, you feel tremendously welcome. It's a real shock when you get over there because you're anticipating a war zone, but it's not at all. It's tremendous security, and everybody loves us there, the Arabs and the Israelis. So it works out great. But I would just say that encountering Christ in the places where the great events of salvation happen is a game changer for your life. So the rest of your life after going there, you visualize these places every time you pray, every time you read the Bible. It is awesome. So we're leaving April 24th. It's right after Easter. It's Easter glory time over there. Beautiful weather. And we're coming back on May 4th. So we would love to have you come with us. Only about, I think, six or seven places left. But again, dritaly.com. Dritaly.com is where you can get info. There's a pilgrimage section right at the top of every page. You can click on it and sign up if you'd like to come.
And Dr. Italy, that's what the amateurs call you. Us radio professionals, we say Dr. D'Ambrosio because we have no problem with that. That's a radio professional.
That's really
I take real professional. I know. I'm really something. I really am. Juan in Dallas, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Your question for Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio.
Yes. I was wondering, when do you draw the line? Once you get involved in church, you volunteer here, you volunteer there, and before you know it, it's taking up all your time. I mean, practically every day of the week. Should you draw a line and say, this is time with the family and this is just time to volunteer?
Absolutely. That's a really good point, Juan. I mean, that's part of the moderation discussion here. Yeah, church activities. You really have to, basically, the idea of temperance is the Lord wants to give us the ability to discern and then to want everything in our life in proper proportion. And so if you're out there every night in the parish and you're neglecting your kids, that's out of balance. It's out of proportion. So you need to have the strength to say no sometimes and so that you can spend time with your kids. And I would just say I think you need to probably dedicate certain nights where you're always home, or certain times that you're home. You know, it depends on the family schedule. But you got, you also need to pay some bills, and you need to get some exercise, and you need to have a date night with your wife. So you kind of have to put all this stuff together, set that balance, and hold firm to that balance. And I think balance is the best way to understand temperance. And tempered glass is balanced in a certain way that makes it a lot stronger than regular glass. And that's the goal of temperance, is to give you a stance where you can't get pushed over. You're not lopsided. You're firm in your foundation. You know, you're solid. And definitely too much church activity is not the will of the Lord when it hurts the family and other areas of your life.
Thanks, Juan. Just a great question. Dr. D'Ambrosio, I was speaking with you at the break, and you were mentioning Thomas Aquinas, and I've lost my clarity on that. But Thomas Aquinas had some helpful things to say, right? Okay, I lose my train of thought sometimes, but some helpful things to say on this area of temperance.
Si, you may never have experienced this, but some people have prayed to God for help with something like, you know, chastity.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or pornography, or just overeating, or whatever. And they keep praying, and they don't see an area change in their life. And they wonder, you know, like, why isn't God hearing me? I'm praying for something. I'm praying for virtue.
Right.
So St. Thomas Aquinas got this question in the 13th century. And he had a very enlightening answer. He said, number one, God doesn't allow any evil in your life unless he can bring greater good out of it. And number two, if he allows an evil, it's probably because he wants to protect you from a greater evil. And the greater evil than your problem with chastity or with gluttony, the greater evil is pride. And God happens to know that if he ever gave you real easy success in this area, your head would swell and you'd be just proud as could be, like Satan. So in mercy, he protects you from that. So if you want to get rid of your gluttony and your chastity problems, you know, your problems of overeating or these other areas, you got to deal with pride first. So you need to grow in humility. So maybe you just need to start praying for and working at growth in the virtue of humility, which is the most important dimension of moderation. As I talked about that before, humility is actually an area of the virtue of self-control or moderation.
That is fascinating. I remember years ago, Richard John Newhouse, you know, remember Father Richard John Newhouse? And he said that...
I do.
Yeah, he said that he thought that sometimes that young people have so many gifts for spiritual enthusiasm and all that kind of thing that if they didn't have sexual sins to moderate them, exactly that might happen. They might think of themselves as spiritual superheroes, kind of.
That's right. So he was just echoing the wisdom of Thomas Aquinas. Now, that's not to say that these are good. God really would much rather get rid of the pride and then help you get rid of the other areas in your life that are out of control, because they are damaging. You know, it's just that, you know, we just kind of asking these good questions that provides a really good clue, I think. And I'd encourage everybody to pray about that one, you know.
Very good. Adam in Sacramento, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. You are on Catholic Answers Live with Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio, and your question is?
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm calling in because I'm an alcoholic, and, you know, I participate in AA, and, you know, they acknowledge just what I would call a sliver of truth, that there is a higher power, and this acknowledgement has helped a lot of people attain temperance in that area of their lives. But for me, it's always a little bit underwhelming or dissatisfying because I feel like the Catholic Church has so much more than just a sliver of truth. And I feel like, you know, if I could bring more of the faith to bear in dealing with this problem than what's offered in AA, that it, you know, I'm kind of longing for that. And recently I read Augustine, I think book 10 of Confessions, where he, you know, he's dealing with his own temperance issues, and he talks about how he's known drunkards who have become sober through the church. I'm just wondering if there are resources or recommendations out there for, you know, Catholics struggling with alcoholism and how the church recommends fighting that battle. Thanks.
Okay. Well, I'm going to share from my perspective as a child of an alcoholic, actually child of two alcoholics, and actually grandchild of three alcoholics. I have three alcoholic grandparents. I'm very, very grateful for AA, and really bottom line, AA is not meant to be a substitute for church. it really is the gospel in a certain way, and made accessible to those who have tremendous resentments against religion. And if it were an overtly religious program, would never set foot inside of an AA meeting. In AA, really, the heart of the gospel is surrender to God and yielding to His grace. And the first three steps are really about that. You know, I've lost control. I can't do it, but God can. And I'm going to let Him. I mean, that's what the first three steps are really about. And increasing growing in your conscious contact with the higher power, that's what you're doing right now in exploring the fullness of the resources that the Catholic Church has to offer in knowledge of God and wisdom, but also in power, in the spiritual power of the sacraments, of the Word of God. The truth is food, you know, and you need that food. So I'm saying that you're on the right track. Just see it as a continuation of what you started in AA. And one of the things that I've seen over the many, many years, I've seen some people think they don't need AA fellowship anymore because they've gotten so involved in church. And I see that as a mistake. And I know people who have slipped and regressed, including people in my family. So I would just say that the AA program is awesome. I really encourage you to work it and to keep working, deepening your relationship with Christ. But your question is, what does the Catholic Church say? The Catholic Church doesn't teach a lot in its official teaching about alcoholism, and it doesn't pretend to have a program other than the gospel itself. So the resources that all Catholics have are resources that alcoholics need desperately. The healing power of the sacrament of penance, you know, the power of the Eucharist, the power of daily prayer, of the Word of God, of truth, the wisdom of the saints. I mean, it sounds like you're all about it right now. And I would just say, you know, keep going for it and share that with other alcoholics, whether they're Catholic or not. I find that a number of people who came onto AA really angry with the Catholic Church, with church in general, you know, they end up becoming really awesome Christians and many times awesome Catholic Christians. So, you know, I see a lot of good fruit and a lot of room to share with AA members, you know, a deeper spiritual wisdom, the fullest spiritual wisdom.
Thank you very much, Adam. So happy that you were able to get in that point with Dr. D'Ambrosio. Dr. D'Ambrosio, I think I know the answer to this, but as we approach the end of the program, I want to get hear your take on it. The pleasures of life, who enjoys the pleasures of life more, the person who enjoys them to excess or the person who has learned moderation?
Okay, that's an easy one. The person who goes after pleasure and makes pleasure their God gets diminishing returns. Because remember, Satan's not interested in your pleasure. He's interested in giving you the minimal amount of pleasure, like when you go fishing, minimal amount of bait on that hook to conceal the hook.
Right.
And then after that, it's forget about it. So when people get involved in pornography addiction, for example, or sexual addiction, they get less and less. Sex becomes boring. So they have to get into kinkier and crazier things to try to restore some thrill.
Right.
For the person who is doing it God's way in marriage, chastely, never breaking the connection between love and life, sexual pleasure is more magnificent and beautiful and satisfying. Same thing with food. So do it God's way. It's better that way.
Amen, brother. Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio, DrItaly.com. That's where people can get in touch with you. Thank you so much for being with us here today on Catholic Answers Live.
My pleasure, Si, my pleasure.
And we will be back tomorrow with more Catholic Answers Live. I am Si Kellett, your host. It's been a pleasure being with you. And remember, Jesus Christ is the light of the nations. Let's try to stay in that light together until we see each other tomorrow right here on Catholic Answers Live.